A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
A busy Indian city. Commuter trains. Words appear. Bandstand, promenade, Bandra, Mumbai. A large crowd is gathered on the street. Inside an upscale home, David Letterman shakes hands with Shah Rukh Khan, his wife and young son.
Hey, are you rested?
Yes, sir. That's nice
Abram.
To see you. Hi, Abram. How are you? Nice to see you.
Your home is beautiful.
Enjoy the crowd outside.
Oh, we saw them coming in. They've been out there since noon or something. Yes.
The enthusiastic crowd wave and take pictures and videos.
Come on along, Dave.
Khan leads Letterman into a backyard. The crowd rushes forward. Men climb a tree for a better view. The crowd waits, cameras ready, as Khan enters a raised, cage-like fenced area. He climbs up the fencing and waves to the crowd. He blows kisses and gives the thumbs up. His son, Abram, approximately 6 years old, comes out. He places him on a platform in the cage-like structure. They both wave. Letterman also comes out to view the enormous crowd. Khan blows more kisses. Letterman returns to the yard.
Wow. This kind of thing didn't happen at my house.
Opening credits, David Letterman steps on stage in front of a live audience. Words appear, a Netflix original series, a 0.0 and worldwide pants production. Animation, two chairs, one occupied, are silhouetted against a blue background. Title, My Next Guest with David Letterman and Shah Rukh Khan. A long line of people wait outside a building in New York City. A woman holds up tickets. Inside, David Letterman waits backstage.
Oh my goodness.
I welcome David Letterman to the stage.
Two leather chairs are set up on an otherwise empty stage in front of a live audience.
How are you? Hi.
Letterman wears a blazer and has a bushy gray beard.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You don't even know, maybe you do know, but this is, I don't know. You know what I'm talking about? This is just beyond anything we ever imagined. But am I making any sense?
Yes.
I thought so. So we have for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the... Well, he couldn't make it, but... Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Shah Rukh Khan.
Khan emerges in a dark tailored waistcoat and suit with a crisp white shirt. He smiles as he puts his hands into prayer position and acknowledges the audience. He shakes hands with Letterman, then they hug.
Thank you so very much.
Facing the audience, Khan takes a bow, then blows a kiss. They both take a seat.
Whoa.
He smiles, blowing another kiss.
I assume...
Letterman glances at his wrist as if looking at the time. Khan motions for the audience to settle.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have. I am thrilled to meet you. And in learning about you and your life and what you represent to 3.5 billion people, more or less. Do I have that number right? 3.5 billion people?
I think it was Time Magazine or Newsweek. One of them mentioned it like that. And they mentioned also I'm the Tom Cruise equivalent of India. So that those two things, kind of have stuck. So whenever I come to America, they say, so what kind of movie star you are? So I say, I'm Tom. And say, oh, you have lots of people following you. So I take out that Newsweek and say 3.5 billion. So, but I don't know how true it is. But, you know, we are people from subcontinent. We procreate a lot. And we have there are lots of us.
That's 43% of the world population. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, give or take a few million, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy being a star?
Mm-hmm.
You love everything about it.
He nods and smiles.
When you were a kid, you started in Delhi?
Yeah, I started acting. When I was called in a play, so there was an audition, and they said, there'll be 90 girls in the play, and we need 10 boys. And That kind of encouraged me to become an actor. Uh-huh. And I said, this is what I want to do. And, and I used to work on something which is known as Ram Leela in our country, where the depiction of Ramayana is done, block-wise or city-wise. So I used to be the monkey army, monkey sena. So we had Hanumanji, the monkey god, if I may say so. So Hanumanji would say, Bol Siyapati Ram Chandra Ki, which means...
Letterman joins the applause.
That's what I would say.
Yeah. So those were the lines I was supposed to say. So I used to just run on and say, Jay, and, you know, jump around with the tail. But I think I just happened to be the right person at the right place, mm-hmm. in the right scenario, at the right time.
Would any other level of success satisfy your desire?
If I had become successful in any other field?
No. If you were a film star in India, but not beloved by 3.5 billion people, would that have satisfied your interest in becoming a star?
No, Mr. Letterman, what happened? No, I don't. No, I don't mean it. No, I...
Go big or go home.
No, I don't mean it like that. What I meant is... See, what happened is, and I'm not being modest, halfway through, I've been working for 30 years now in films, or 27 years, and halfway through I realized that I'm not half as talented as I think I am. And that realization made me realize that, listen, if I can't do it with the skill and talent, then I better get into the hearts of people, and if they're loving me, let me just be nice and good about it. So, I'm being honest. So 3.5 billion people have to love me, because if it were just for talent or skill, no, they wouldn't have loved me. So.
Let's talk about your mother's influence early in getting you to go see a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Was a bit of bribery involved on your mother's part?
Yes. It's like this in a lot of places in India. No, I didn't say that. No, we don't do all this in India. We're incorruptible. But I wasn't good at Hindi because I was in an Irish brother missionary school. I wasn't good at it. And she said, like, if you get 10 on 10 in your
perfect exams, score perfect in score, an exam, yeah.
Perfect score in your exam, then I'll take you to watch a film first time. You know, we were not very well to do. So to go to a movie theater was a very big thing. So I learned these 10 words, except for one. And I just looked across and saw that I'd made a mistake. So I copied that one, I must tell you. I cheated, but it was my own mother, so I could cheat her. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And then I got 10 and 10, and she took me for the first.
I wonder what this admission, this stunning, startling admission, I wonder what it does to that 3.5 billion. maybe it's starting to drop.
No. As the Americans do, I'll apologize publicly, and you can forgive me.
You had a television career. You started in Delhi. Was mm-hmm. that where the TV industry was then, or...?
No, TV had just come in, David. It had just come into India in early 90s.
What kind of shows did they have for you at home to watch? Were there shows
Nothing. No, we just had a state-owned television. And I don't know if people are old enough here to have seen that Doordarshan. And there was only one program, which was about farmers, which was called Krishi Darshan. Then there was a lot of documentaries on Indian independence and stuff, which was... So there was no formal entertainment, so to say. So in 90s, supper television kind of concept, which happened in America, came into India. The stuff that I did first was a series based on the army. And it was a fun series of young boys and girls trying to make a living while joining the Indian army. So that was fun. And that kind of catapulted me into stardom, and things just kind of took off from there.
And what did you study in school?
I finished in sciences. I wanted to be an engineer. And then I realized I can't be, there's a lot of things I realized I can't be, so I became an actor. It'll sound like that. But then I did my graduation in economics, and then I did my master's in mass communication. I wanted to be a journalist.
Wow.
Very
impressive.
Yeah, but I just didn't know what I wanted to do. And my father said, the only way you can think you're educated is if you can read a newspaper and understand every page of it. And now, 35 years later, I open a newspaper, I can't understand a word that's written in it. So,
let's talk about your kids. Uh-huh. Grown, right? College age, is that about right?
Yes, my son's here at USC in LA. Mm-hmm. He's learning how to make films. He's 21. My daughter's turned 19. She's coming here to study at the NYU Tisch.
Also film?
My son doesn't want to act, and I don't think he can. But, you know, in India, it's like, okay, if you're a movie star son, then you might become a movie star son. He looks nice and he's tall and okay. So, but I don't think he has what it takes for that. And he realizes it himself, but he's a good writer.
Now, did you express that to him?
No. I think wanting to be an actor has to come from within.
Right.
You know, it's something that you really feel like doing, wanting to do, and then find a set of skills or learn it. But I think I realized it from him when he said that.
Yeah.
He came and said, you know, I don't think I want to act. And his issue was, and which I think is very, very practical and honest, he said, every time I'll be compared to you.
Well, yeah.
So
yeah.
If I do well, it will not be because I got skilled at this. It'll be, oh, obviously, you know, he's his son, so he will do well. It's in the genes.
Mm-hmm.
And if he said, if I don't do well, it'll always be, my God, look at him. What his father did, and look at him, what is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, I don't want to be in that position.
Well, you set the bar kind of high.
No, I...
What are you like? You're a different guy at home, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I again, it may not have been put this way, and maybe it sounds wrong to say it, but the only thing I hold against my parents, if there is anything I could hold against them, is the fact that they didn't spend enough time with me. So that's one thing I decided, that I am going to make sure that I live very long, and I make sure that I keep on living with my kids and never let them feel they don't have a parent. So any given moment I spend with them, I study with them, I sleep with them, I chat with them, I sort out all their problems, and I hate it when they have boyfriend-girlfriend problems. I just want to say, just kick the person out. But I'm saying, you know, in life it happens that you have to give and take in relationships, darling. I hate explaining it to her. I want to tell her this guy's no good. But I have to, and choose presents for him sometimes, which is the worst thing possible. Papa, what do you think he'll like?
Yeah.
Like, he'll like a moose on him. Right.
But how about that kid, knowing that he is hoping to become close to the daughter of you? That's a pretty steep hill to climb, too, isn't it?
I think it's impossible. To get there. No, but jokes apart, I spend a lot of time with them. I'm learning how to cook now, because they've reached an age where, you know, they want to be with their friends, and I'm not obtrusive. I can't. I have a huge amount of respect for people's private places and, you know, spaces and privacy. So I don't even go to their rooms and say, hey, you're back home, can I spend time with you, till they call me. So I thought this was a good excuse, because, you know, they keep awake with their friends when they come back on holidays. So they always want food at 2-3 in the morning, and I sleep only at 5 a.m. I sleep very late. So I'm always ready, so I'm learning Italian food. So I'm on the phone in my bedroom, and whenever that 9 number of the kitchen goes, I say, yeah, what do you want? Do you want some pasta? And I quickly go and make it.
Words appear, Bandra Mumbai. In Khan's kitchen, he sits on the floor eating with young Abram.
Okay, so this one is yours. You want ketchup on it?
Okay.
I want my idea.
Khan uses ketchup to make a smiley face on flatbread.
And funny nose.
Yeah.
How about the funny nose?
We'll make one funny nose, Pooja.
Words appear. Dadar Flower Market, Mumbai. Letterman waves to vendors.
How's everybody? I'm Dave.
Vendors string flowers into necklaces.
The flower market. Beautiful stuff.
Letterman is offered a rose.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind. Thank you so much. There you are. This is for you.
He gives it to an unsmiling woman. Next, a man approaches him.
Letterman?
I am Mr. Letterman.
How are you?
Do I owe you money?
No.
Oh, good.
I used to watch your show.
Yeah, what's your name?
Owen.
Where are you from, Owen?
From New Jersey.
Did you here on the holiday?
Yeah, visiting my mother.
Oh, your mom lives in Mumbai? Oh, that's great. I got just the perfect gift.
Pictures of Indian gods framed in gold.
Hello. How do you do? How much for the light up? Yeah, let's give that to your mother. Thank you very much. That's beautiful.
Thank
all right, tell your mother I said hello.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
At home in the kitchen, Khan chops garlic.
I have an apron for you.
Now we're getting somewhere.
His apron reads, cooking for Dave.
Is there something I can do to pretend that I'm helping?
Yeah, you can do this.
Yeah. I can do that. But I can stop.
Okay. Food processor.
When the kids, when you talk to them in the middle of the night, what do they want you to make them? Pizza?
No, because Dave, I've just started. There are only three things I know.
What are they?
Aglio e olio. Mm-hmm. That pizza, pasta I can make. I can make pesto. I can make this pepper chicken. And risotto.
Parmesan.
Is that enough? Oh, a little more.
You're asking me?
Yeah. Are you okay with handling chicken?
Yeah, I know how to handle chicken.
He pounds the pieces flat.
That's not so much.
Trying to be a little more gentle here. Hi, welcome back to Cooking for Dave. How big are the pieces that you want?
Very small. Yeah, that's good.
Just like that?
Yeah.
Small cubes.
This knife is very sharp. Ow! Jeez! Oh!
Letterman clutches his finger.
God! Oh!
Okay, you don't have to do it. I'll do it myself now, thanks.
Not even for a second?
I don't want to say this. I'm a professional actor for 30 years, so this kind of...
How about you? A little bit?
A little bit.
All right. That's all we want is a little bit. Did you like the way I set it up by saying, boy, these knives are sharp?
Really good, really good, yeah.
Yeah.
The scripting was very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, the performance fell short.
The performance fell short. So, is your wife joining us for dinner?
Yes, she is. She's sweet. You like her?
Well, you're doing a very nice job of dredging the chicken.
I'm doing good?
Yeah, I think so. You know what I like? One of the Arabian Sea is right out there.
Yeah, and you know, Dave, I'm from Delhi. So for me, I'd never seen the sea before I came here. So Delhi's landlocked. So, you know, you walk onto these small, small streets here in Mumbai, like in New York, and suddenly you walk out and there's this huge piece of sea in front of you. For me, that was really, really the biggest reason I kind of always wanted to have a house on the sea without sounding too philosophical. It does make you realize how insignificant you are.
Well, when I lived in California, I had friends who had houses on the Pacific Ocean. You would go there and you would think, it's a good thing I don't live here because I would never get any work done because of what you're talking about. You just start, you know, looking at the sea, and it's a form of meditation.
It is. It is very meditative.
The sun sets over the waterside city. Khan pan fries the chicken.
I can just keep looking at the seas. Actually, that's the only meditative thing I do. Otherwise, I can't sit still. I like working.
Yeah.
Do you work a lot?
I don't like sitting still. I have to be doing something. You know what I'm good at is telling other people how to live their lives. I can't figure mine out, but I got nothing but advice.
Actually, me too. I have the same issue. I can advise. A lot of people come to me for advice. And then sometimes when I listen to myself talking, I wish I could follow some of it, which I don't.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's so much easier
to figure out
somebody else's life than your own.
On a crowded beach at sunset, families have picnics, drink tea, and wade in the water. Now the New York stage.
What gives you hope?
I'd be really honest, yeah. The birth of my kids, and everybody says this, and then you kind of always ignore it till you are a father yourself. Oh, fatherhood will change you.
Mm-hmm.
But it made me gentler. It made me kinder. Genuinely kinder. And more compassionate, for sure. And very, very anxious. Very, very anxious. And you won't believe me, I had more hair than this without hair products. But I really had, if it's possible. But yeah, it makes you anxious, but it's... I have a small one, Dave, I have to tell you. He's six, and he's so beautiful. And he's so honest. And to me, as an actor, the greatest moment is to just sit with children and take the unabashed innocence and sometimes even the, how do you say it, when people are not very well-mannered?
Mm-hmm. They're candid, they're frank.
They're candid,
unfiltered.
I just love so much, unfiltered, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that's what I learned from the three kids and has made me a better person.
Let me ask you, as a kid in Delhi, what is life like there? You moved there when you were about five, is that what it was?
Yeah, I was born in Delhi. And then, I don't know, for some reason, my mother gave me up for adoption to my grandmother.
Childhood photos.
And so they adopted me for 5 years.
No, I mean, that's what? What is that?
It wasn't any legal or religious process. It was just the goodness of her heart, because her mother, she didn't have any boy. So she said, you know, I've got four daughters, and I needed a boy. Dad is too old to manage one now. So if I could borrow your kid. So my mom actually said, yeah, go ahead and keep him. That's what I was told, and then.
But now this is, right away, this is fascinating to me. Is that common?
No. Not at all. Now when I think back upon it, then I realize maybe my mother didn't like me too much.
Well, I know better than that. I know that the relationship with your mother was more than formative for you, not only in life but also in your career. But so then you go to live with your grandmother.
Yeah, in Mangalore, or Bangalore, the southern part of it. My grandfather was a chief engineer there in Karnataka state. And then 5 years later, I think even my mother couldn't have another baby. And my mom said that she missed me, so she got me back, that's it. So I was back with them.
Wow. Think about it. You have three kids. Can you think about furloughing one or two of them?
All of them.
I don't think so.
No, I think, the familial system in India is very different. Everybody's very close. So I think she just felt that I could be brought up better there. And then she realized, no, and she got me back. And then I think my father wasn't working too well. My father's a freedom fighter for the country. He fought for the independence. And I guess that made him kind of honest. So he wasn't very successful.
Freedom fighting against the...
Against the British.
Against the British. The colonialism, the British. India did not become its own independent country until 47?
47, yes.
47,
yeah. 1947.
Wow, so. Well, God bless your father for that. Did that represent... both your parents died...
very early, yes. Yeah, I was 15 and then...
So accepting that, your childhood is pleasant memories for you.
Yes, it was. I mean, I sometimes wonder, was it better to have lost them young and then get over it and lead life? Or would it be that, if I'm 53 now, to have been with them till now and then lose them? So I have a very positive way to look at it. And I'm like,
That's interesting because this is a question that people would ask me. My mother lived till she was 93 or 94. Mm-hmm. She died playing hacky sack. No, that's a joke. And people said, well, that's too bad. But the truth of it is, at 93, the woman that lived in my mother's house was really no longer my mother. Mm-hmm. And so I understand what you're saying with that.
Were you close to your mother?
That would be another show.
Okay.
But your father had dreams of being an actor, is that correct?
No. He knew a lot of people who were kind of in the film industry. Mm-hmm. He had a crush on a lady called Madhubala, who was extremely beautiful. I think he just went there to be able to be next to her. And he said he'd failed in about 3 days because he couldn't say a line.
Then came home and became an attorney, is what he was, a lawyer, right?
He didn't become anything. I call him the most successful failure in the world. Very kind, but he didn't take a job sometimes because being an attorney, he said, also implied that you may have to lie a little. So he was a wonderful failure. He had a lot of time to spend with me.
Did he pass away when you were still at home, or had you moved on to Mumbai?
No, I was 15, very sudden, least expected. Just
when you were 15?
I was 15,
That's a difficult time for children.
It was very difficult because he just came home one day and he said, I've got cancer. And we said, yeah, we'll deal with it. Nobody knew the enormity of the disease at that point in time. And in 3 months,
he was gone.
Yeah. So that was sad. And then a few years later, we kind of started coming to grips with it. And then my mother died of a similar disease.
What I have read about your mother's death was as difficult a circumstance for you as one might imagine. I mean, it's never easy, but you thought through prayer, diligent prayer, that you could intervene.
Yes, I have this strange theory about death because I've seen it so often in my family now at a very young age, that if you are satisfied with life in that moment when death comes to you, that's when you go away. But if you're dissatisfied, if you have unfinished business left, or you think, no, I still need to be here, because I think death is extremely beautiful and alluring. So my mom was in the ICU, and I thought if I gave a lot of trouble, she'll be extremely dissatisfied. So I sat next to her bedside and I would say things like, I'm going to be really mean to my elder sister. I'll not get her married. And I'll never work. And I'll start drinking. And I started telling her bad things, that hoping that she'd be just on her way to this nirvana place, her godly abode, about to be happy, and she'll say, oh my God, this guy, I still have to worry about this.
I've never heard anything like that. That your sainted mother, you decide if you tell her, communicate to her, you can't leave because I'm just gonna be the worst son
in the world. Yeah, yeah.
So she has to rally and come back.
But it didn't work.
Your parents never really got to see your career explode or start to explode, did they?
No. That could be the reason she passed away, actually, because just before, a day before she died, I did take in one of the series that I'd finished in Mumbai. I asked the doctor, put up a television set and a VCR, and played the episode. And then she died the next day. So maybe it was... yeah. So no amount of criticism of my work actually makes me feel bad anymore, you know.
Obviously, your mother is very important to you. And you've said that even in acting, you learned a great deal from women that you worked with in films.
I've been brought up by women in a way because, you know, my mother had three sisters. So I kind of had, you know, growing up, I was the only boy in the family, so all the women were nice, and then I get dimples. So they used to find me very sweet. So, so they used to keep touching me and...
It's like this wherever you go, isn't it?
The dimples?
Yeah. And the reaction to almost every breath you take. I've never seen anything like it.
Film footage of Khan in Mumbai. He has a police escort to maneuver through the enormous crowd. His fans take pictures and reach out to try to touch him. Police try to keep the crowd behind a rope. He climbs into the roof of a car and waves to the fans. New York stage.
What was the C gang? Do I have the right initial there?
Yeah.
What was that?
You see, there was a day of, we'd seen Grease and, you know, T-Birds and you know, leather jackets.
Like
and,
James Dean?
Yeah, James Dean. Little Travolta.
Yeah.
John Travolta.
Yeah.
And so we all decided to get ourselves jackets and, you know.
We all your buddies?
All our buddies, just four of us, actually. And so we formed a gang in school. and we just pretended that we were those guys, you know, and that we could dance and sing, and girls fell for us, and, like, we were really cool. But I think nobody took us seriously. It was just a gang, and then we made it very exclusive. We made a badge, you know, a laminated badge, which was very difficult to make, and
this,
we used to wear...
This really is gang behavior.
It was.
If you're laminating...
It was. And I remember we had to wear a Nike with a gray swoosh, a white shirt, and blue jeans with C written with your hand here.
Yeah.
And we would dress up the same, we would walk on our toes, and we would go to parties and speak lingo, which we kind of made ourselves. How's it hanging, man? Yeah, cool, yo, what, dude?
And, And the C represented what?
It was the class section that we were in.
I see. So anyway, tell me about a girl you fell in love with, and she leaves. She goes to Mumbai, and you and your buddies, the C gang, right? You talk them into, we're going to Mumbai, we're going to find her.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know where she is. What you know is that she likes to swim.
Yeah.
So your idea is we'll start going to the beach.
Yeah, and I've never been to Mumbai before. So I landed in Mumbai, I started looking for her, and I didn't know there's not one beach, there's several beaches in Mumbai because it's an island city. So it's surrounded by the sea. So we, in movies, they show only one, the big one with the lights every time, and that's what I'd seen. So we were there every day, hoping she'd be, you know, coming out like Bo Derek in 10. High speed, and I'd really had thoughts like that she'd be coming out in a bikini, and I'd look at her, and she wasn't there. Then we sat in a cab, and there was a very, very kind Sardarji from Punjab, and he looked at me and he said, yeah. So, He said, you know, wait, what do you want to do? So I said, I've been looking for my girlfriend, and, you know, she has to be on a beach because she loves swimming. So he says, there are lots of beaches here. So I said, isn't this the one big beach? He said, no, there is this, there is Aksa, there is Gorai, there is this, this is... So I said, we have 400 rupees. Can you take us to all the beaches, and as soon as the money runs out on the meter, just drop us off? So he took us. And then my friends rebelled. They got very disturbed. They said, this is it. Your love story is over. We don't give a... They were hungry.
Yeah.
They had no place to stay. And we had sold our cameras. We had sold everything, you know, to subsist on the roads of Mumbai. And then I was just leaving, and I heard a voice. And I was going, and I heard a voice. I said, you know what? This was last place, this one beach, guys. And my guy says, we're not going with you. So I said, no, I think it's her. I swear it's her. And I just ran down to that beach, and sure enough, in 150 frames, in a bikini, Gauri was coming. No, that didn't happen. But she was there, and she came, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Inside an art studio, projects include an enormous sculpture of Gandhi and an oil painting of Khan, approximately 10 feet tall. Now in his dining room, Khan serves pasta and chicken for dinner.
We must feed you well.
Thank you very much. It looks fantastic.
He's the cook.
It's not too bad, no?
I'm the taster of the food.
I'd get better.
You know anything about the sea game?
Yes, absolutely.
You get tired of hearing about it?
Well, I'm equally in touch with them now. So they're my friends too.
So they all come to Mumbai, and he knows you like to swim.
Yes.
So he starts waiting at a beach. Did that actually happen?
It actually happened, and till today I'm shocked. That how did he manage to do that?
Right.
It was crazy because there weren't mobile phones. He had no clue about Bombay.
You felt you had to get away from him? He was annoying you?
I just wanted a break because he was extremely possessive about me.
Mm.
We were so young. We were teenagers.
How long have you been married?
Since 91, 2001, 2011, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 27
He's
years.
Yeah? I've lost track.
27 years now.
How did your parents feel about him in those days?
They didn't know about him. I just kept it from them, and we belonged to a very, very conservative family. And back then, there was no such thing as dating. It took a while to accept him. You know, they came to Bombay and they spent time with him, and they learned to love him.
Well, he's awfully charming, isn't he?
Exactly. Thanks. That's what he did. And today, my mom loves him
now,
completely.
You have three children.
Yep.
The older two are grown. They're living in a completely different part of the planet. Does that just drive you crazy?
No.
Really? How do you not worry about them?
I am a very relaxed, very easy person about everything in life.
She's lying. Every evening before we sleep.
No, of course.
She's just putting up the front, yeah. She comes in the room. You know, this happened. Swana said that. Aryan has to be told this.
No,
this and she gives
said,
it to me all the time. Yeah.
We are concerned parents, but we are not hysterical parents.
My son's only 16, but the idea of him moving to a different continent, I don't want that.
They were in a comfort zone in India.
Yeah.
Having to staff to look after them, and an ex, and I mean the usual.
This is pretty good.
I mean, too much of everything.
Yeah,
but I didn't want to give them that.
I understand that.
My lifestyle.
Yeah.
With bodyguards, fans, people who love you so much, I think it's very difficult not to get affected by it for the kids. So Gauri was very clear that listen. At a certain age and stage, we need to just let them be away from all this.
Mm-hmm.
When they come here, they realize everywhere they walk, pictures are taken, people see them.
They hate that.
They're surrounded.
They hate it, yeah.
I mean, they get a little disturbed.
Hate is too strong.
You know, the youngsters, they can handle it, but it's too much here sometimes.
So I'm suddenly thinking, let's get them back.
So you're missing them. Dave has made you feel it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay, now I'm nervous. For the first time.
Got it. Thanks, Dave.
A market with elaborate woven carpets and colorful fabrics embossed with gold. A traffic jam of scooters and pedestrians head to the night market, shopping for produce, street food, and clothing. Now the New York stage in front of a live audience.
I saw a film recently, A Fan.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was scarily biographical. Mm-hmm. for you. The birthday celebration, which featured in that film.
Yeah.
There you are, and then there's thousands of people, and you show up. Now, if somebody says, Dave, there's 10,000 people outside your house, I'm in the basement. I'm not going out.
But that depends why they've come there. They might have come there.
Well, see, that's the problem, yeah.
These people are coming to love me. I don't know about why they're coming there.
It's a different culture. It's a different society.
It's a different society. It's a different culture. All the people who come from all over the world to just, you know, love me and give me these amazing gifts. And I meet them. I try and meet nearly, if I may say, all the people that you see outside my house. I do get to meet them by 5 o'clock in the morning.
Has your wife ever said, you know, you don't need to be out there till 5 in the morning taking selfies and signing pictures?
For both of us, it was a very, very new life. You know, to become a movie star. You know, it's only something that you saw happen to others or saw it from very far off. Suddenly, this young couple is in the middle of it. And for her to take this call very early, I think in a couple of years, that this man's life does not only alone belong to me. It belongs to other people also, and he loves doing it. And the way she has, I won't even use the word allowed, seamlessly made it happen, that it doesn't seem out of the ordinary or awkward for me ever in these 31 years.
Recap of Letterman and Khan waving to fans outside the house. Now dinner continues at the Khan residence.
Explain to me what I've witnessed and participated in outside of your house today.
This being Eid, this is an Islamic period of 30 days of Ramadan, which ends with Eid. For Muslims, Eid is like Christmas. So all the Muslims come on the roads and actually start celebrating at the night, in the night only. Mm-hmm. My little one, Abram, he comes and wake me up, and his line is always, peoples are waiting. Because, you know, he can hear them in his
peoples
room.
Peoples are waiting.
Peoples are waiting.
Symbolically, it means something more than you just going out and saying hello to people who go to see your movies. It means that you have transcended movie star status to something else. And I don't know if it's because you're so darn cute. I don't know if it's because of the culture.
He connects with people and they love him. When he waves to them, probably they can see a deep connect with him. That's what, and the love they have for him. I think that's what it is.
I wouldn't have this life if I didn't have so many people loving me like this day in and day out. And in spite or despite of my movies being good or bad, I just see the only way I can be good to them is, you know, kind of just hoping to meet everyone by the end of my life.
You're comfortable with this? You understand it?
I'm comfortable as long as I don't have to go out there to stand by his side.
Have you ever asked her to come?
No, I've never. I've never imposed what I do.
Yeah.
I think it's so completely intangible, this kind of startup. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm alien. I always tell everyone, I'm an employee of the myth of Shah Rukh Khan. So I work for that myth. It's a myth, you know. Yeah. For me also, it's mythological. Why are these people standing here while I'm waving out? It's awkward for me to blow flying kisses. I'm a very shy person. I'm genuinely a very shy person. You know, it's awkward. Actually, so is Gauri. We are very shy, quiet kind of people. So do this and, you know, have this extra, you know, over-the-top actions and all. For me, it's like Freddie Mercury did it. Not me, you know. So for me, it's very difficult to do it. But I have to do it as the employee of this myth.
Crowded night market, chaotic traffic, vendors offering street food, sweets, and clothing. Fairground rides, an ornate temple. New York stage.
Is it me, or in a scene in nearly each movie that I've seen, everybody is wet?
Wet?
Wet.
We're basically a race of people who like to keep on bathing whenever given a chance. As a matter of fact, I would like a shower to follow me.
Previously, movie clip, a scene in the rain.
When films started in India early in the 30s, you know, we used to be, or we are, a more conservative set of society. So rules were changed. And then, of course, when you put on rules and regulations which are kind of different, and you still want to titillate. So if some of you have seen the movies, whenever the boy and the girl went to kiss, so it would just cut to two flowers kissing. And we never got to know who was holding them below and why were these two flowers kissing. So, you know, a lot of us kids who were doing science really thought that flowers make out like this, you know, they just come in, kiss, and that's how
the botanists were puzzled.
Yeah.
So. I hope I have the initials right. DDJL. Yeah. This,
DDLJ.
I'm sorry. LJ. It's a romantic comedy, to be sure. Beautiful scenery, beautiful people. And so it comes out, it opens up, and it continues to play in theaters for 20 years.
Yes.
20 years!
20 years. Yeah, you know, we were a young set of kids who started, first-time director, first-time assistant, so Aditi Chopra, the leading lady, was wonderful, Kajol. And we just had fun, you know. We would 20 years. Yeah, and we never thought, we finished it in, I think, 50, 60 days.
Yeah.
And we just released it, and people have just loved it for 20 years and keep on watching it, keep on watching it.
Now, would you appear in all manner of film, or do you have a limit to which you would not work?
I don't ride horses or animals, because I don't know how to, and I'm scared.
I've seen you in film on a horse.
Yeah. That was by force, child labor. And that I didn't want to.
You wouldn't do that anymore.
I wouldn't do it. I didn't want to do it. You know, the stunt coordinator, the action guy mm-hmm. came and said, "Don't do it, it'll be all right. It's a very good horse." Said, oh, thank you. And it was a big burly guy. And I said, "Yeah, it'll be all right." "Don't worry, as soon as action is over." So I'm sitting like a king there with my hair flying, and then somebody says, "Action." And he didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought he told me when it says action, it'll go. It's very well trained and all. And he didn't go. So I kept looking, and it looks really stupid, you know, because I'm ready with my sword.
Sure.
And, you know, it's like that, and there's nothing happening. And then he whacked it from the back. And he went, ee! And I kept running, and nobody stopped me.
Yeah.
And I just kept running till the horse stopped. And that's when I realized, I said no. And I came and told him that the horse didn't stop. So he told me, "I told you it'll go. I don't know when it stops." "You have to stop."
Not his problem, really. Wow. American films mean anything to you when you were growing up? Were there two or three or actors or actresses that, or from any part of the world that?
Yeah, Tom Cruise is competition. So I grew up loving Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox. Yeah.
I think a lot of my acting and the way he used to use space and the ease with which he used to act in Family Ties, and then, of course, Back to the Future. So I'm a big, big fan, and
yeah.
I really look up to him for everything, apart from the fact that he inspired a young boy to be an actor like him. And, you know, he was really sweet and funny, and he always looked eternally youthful, that he would never grow old. He was always a young man. And then, you know, when he was struck with Parkinson's, and I read the book and what all happened to him, extremely inspiring. So, yeah, and one other actor, Peter Sellers. I think these two actors affected me immensely in my childhood.
How long do you want to be the icon, the hero of the world? How long do you want to be that?
It's really kind of everyone, but I calculated till about 106 years. honestly, I'm not lying.
There are people who would like to be you. People who think maybe they can find ways to surpass you. How do you deal with that?
I'm extremely reclusive, Dave. I normally don't indulge in this. I've become very quiet with age. Not outside, you know, when I have to be on a public platform, I'm chatting with people, I love people. But on my own, I'm very reticent, quiet, and an artist is very insecure. You know, we are insecure. Okay, I'll say it for me, I don't know if you are, but I'm insecure.
Yeah.
And I really want to give back to people through my work so much who've given me way beyond what I deserved in terms of my talent and skills.
You're in a film, forgive me if I don't recall the name, and the director was directing his wife with you in a scene where there perhaps was going to be intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And the rumor printed in a magazine was that he said, "Why don't the two of you spend the night, get to know, you kids get to know one another, and then tomorrow we'll shoot the film. And this insulting, clearly, to you and to the man's wife.
I got very disturbed with it, and I was new. And so I used to react to every news item and, you know, whatever appeared. And thankfully, there was no social media then, but just the magazines and stuff. And I got very angry, and I called up the editor, and I said, you wrote this. He said, but no, listen, can you take it? It's just a joke.
Yeah,
it's a joke. So I said, but I don't find it funny. So I went down to the office and misbehaved a lot. And
let's define misbehave.
Yes, she gang.
You took your laminated badges.
Yeah, you don't mess with the sea gang. So I went there and I shouted and I screamed and I threatened to hit people and I said, you know, I'm gonna take off your clothes and then make you stand naked with me and would you find that funny? And now when I think about it, it was the wrong thing to say, but when you're angry, you don't know what you're saying. You just rattle off stuff, you know? So then I was put in jail.
You think you were put in jail?
Yeah, for a day.
Yeah.
They arrested
for
me.
For a day?
Yeah, I was shooting a film and cops came. And they sat down very sweetly and they said, you know, we have a few questions to ask you. And I packed up and I said, yeah, do you want to travel in my car and we'll chat? Because I always assume anyone who meets me is a fan. So they said, no, we'd like you to come in our car. I said, no, you can sit in my car. And then took me to the police station. It was a small little prison. With all, human feces and it was really bad. And as soon as I saw that, I said, no, please just let me go. I'll never do this again. What happened? I said, sorry to him. And then they bailed me. They gave me an evening bail and I came back. Of course, when I walked out, I told everyone, you know, I just handled them in a second. I said, you can't keep me. I maintain that. This is the first time I'm telling the real story. Otherwise, I've always told them. You know, I went in, I told them, I said, listen, you can't keep a guy from Sea Gang in jail for too long.
No.
Yeah, so.
But the version that I heard or read, they said to you upon incarceration, you can make one phone
call.
Yeah,
so I did that too, yeah.
Who did you call?
I called the same guy who'd written the story. And I said, now I'm in jail. And I'm not, because that person had really screamed at me, that senior cop. So I said, now I'm not scared. Now you be very scared. So I went to his house at night after I was bailed, and there were a lot of cops outside who didn't know why they were standing there. They didn't know it's against me, you know? So I was going, and they said, Kaisa Shahrukh bhai? So I said, hi, how are you? And I walked up to him, and I asked for a matchbox for a cigarette right outside his window, so he knows that I could have been here. And I just lit my cigarette, looked at him, and went off, yeah. So I'm very mature like that.
You grow beyond these
Absolutely.
Things. This would not happen now.
I mean, it's happened rather frequently. Yeah.
Your reaction would be different now.
Yes, it would be, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, it should be. No, it should be. It would be.
Because you have an example for your and your family, of course.
I think they're okay with it. Sometimes things go wrong, and I need to really be. And I've been on medication for the last 5 years. No, I've really been calmer now. I don't get angry, and it's not a good thing to do.
Are you joking about the medication?
Yeah.
I am on medication.
I could tell as soon as I saw. I recently had an altercation at a cricket stadium also, and I would have denied it, but it's on video. So it's
cricket. You own a cricket team, is that
yeah,
correct?
Yeah. Now that's just voyeuristically living my childhood, not being able to become a cricketer. So I just own a team, and I hope we win through them.
Right.
But I really wanted to be a sports person, but then I hurt my back.
What sport did you want to play?
I played all three. What we play the field hockey, which is not like ice hockey; it's on the ground. Then I've played a bit of football or soccer. And then cricket, of course. Everyone in India plays cricket.
Scenes around the city with rundown buildings and traffic. Letterman arrives at a sports ground. Young men play cricket on a dirt pitch.
Hi, how are you? Good morning, hello.
He meets the under-19 cricket champion, Prithvi Shah.
Hi, I'm Dave.
What's your name?
Prithvi Shaw.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You play cricket?
Yeah.
How long have you been playing cricket?
12, 13 years.
I'm told you're pretty good. Is that right?
Yeah.
Video footage and photos.
You're like a really good batter. Yeah. You set the record for
546. It was a world record in a single inning.
This has never happened in baseball. I've seen one cricket match, and the fielders don't wear gloves.
Yeah.
With the exception of the guy behind the
wicket-keeper.
Yeah, he's the wicket-keeper.
The wicket-keeper.
Prithvi bats a ball.
Jesus, God. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let me try. But I don't want him throwing that fast.
I'll bowl to you.
Well, I saw a guy last night doing a lot of this. Well, he was doing like this, and one caught him right in the nuts. Okay. I just try and hit the ball off the bounce, right?
Yeah, off the bounce, right.
Okay, this is gonna hurt. No funny stuff.
He holds the cricket bat like a baseball bat and swings. He makes contact with the ball, but it goes backwards.
Okay, now I got it.
A clean hit.
Yes.
Okay. What do you think? I mean, come on. Did that score anything?
That's out, but you have to swing it harder.
Okay, it's my second time.
That's a shot.
The ball hits the wicket, knocking off the bales.
Oh, you broke the thing.
That's out.
No, just go back. We're not done. I'll put it on.
That's out.
Well, it's not out. Just go back there.
That is out.
Put the stick back up.
There is no strike one.
Give me five more. Just give me five more.
There is no strike one.
You're fine.
That's out.
New York stage.
I'm going to ask you a question, and answer it, don't answer it. I get paid either way. How does your country collectively feel with regard to the president of our country?
Okay, there were times, I don't know how, because America is a superpower.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me,
I know things you say cause waves of controversy. So if you want to lay out, that's fine.
Okay, let me try and say it as politically correctly as possible without creating waves. So, you know, all of us back home in India and lots of places, I'm sure, look up to America, you know, as the superpower, one of the most developed places, a place to be. And, you know, it's been many years since this is the superior place to be. Now, we are like, okay with you, you know. We are like, okay, you have him as the president. And
he shrugs.
So, yeah, maybe you guys deserve it. So I
Oh, buddy. Whoa. Maybe we do. I was taken by the optimism of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the population, as I think the biggest in the world now, is quite young. Yeah. And that population is looked at as a true asset for that country.
The youngest country in the world now, I think 65% of Indians, if I'm not mistaken, are under the age of 35 or 35 and nearing there. So that's a huge amount of man and woman power. Extremely educated. The most English-speaking nation.
Yep.
I don't say that is the main thing, but it allows you to go global. And another 5-6 years, maybe you'll have an Indian president of America. So that's how we see it.
It's too bad that we might have to wait 5 or 6 years. I wanted to talk about philanthropic efforts because an impression of your home country is that while it's certainly capable in terms of resources, it needs help, as does every society in the world. What do you do to help the rest of the world?
My life has been completely controlled by women, whether it was my mom, then my sister, my wife, now my daughter, and the actresses I worked with. So whatever I know because of the dignity of women that have surrounded me and taught me. And I want to do something for women. So we have a small organization where we try to rehabilitate, physically look after, and then hopefully work towards the laws and rules that govern this whole system of acid attack victim women. So we do that a lot. So I have a team of people. The idea is to collaborate with every and anyone who's doing anything related to acid attack victims all over the country first. So, you know, it's like a network thing. And we work with everyone. We try to fulfill whatever skin grafting is required, surgeries are required, if jobs are there. And I think the law has to become stricter. So we will appeal to the authorities now, make a presentation, and lots of people and lots of organizations are already doing it.
Good for you.
I hope it turns out.
Scenes around Mumbai, the crowded night market and faces of locals, smiling children on a fairground ride, a young happy couple, teens laughing at the beach, a stern-faced man, New York stage.
I saw you explain to a group of people that you couldn't dance, that you had tried, that you had worked with a choreographer, and yet you just couldn't, it was something you couldn't do, mm-hmm. and so you kind of, they cut to you and you're doing this. And I thought.
Hands out front.
Is that it, pretty much? And then.
Smiling, he takes a sip from a coffee mug.
And then I see the movies,
mm-hmm.
and you're running around, you're flipping, you're dancing, you're hopping, I mean, like a professional dancer. So what changed between this and actually your Fred Astaire?
I still don't think I can dance, really.
But
I'll
you
be honest.
You do dance.
Khan covers his face with his hands.
You know, when my first film came out, and I think one of the critics wrote, what you may call his hair,
what should we call his hair?
Yeah, what should we call his hair? I think he or she didn't know my name or didn't want to. And said, what should we call his hair has worked his way into the hearts of Indian audience by sliding on an ice slab down the stairs, somersaulting, cartwheeling, eyes trembling, lips trembling, visceral, maniacal energy, but still cloyishly boyish.
You memorized this.
I memorized this for the show, actually, not even otherwise. I, you know, because when I was coming here, his show was called My Next Guest Needs No Introduction.
That's correct.
And then they kept asking me, how do you want Dave to introduce you?
Yeah.
I said, but why is it he's introducing me if I don't need no
introduction? Right.
So I wrote this out. I said, I give it to you to read it out.
Thank you. but in the films where you are dancing, you look pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, let me say, I'm not a trained dancer, but like all Indians, actually, love to dance.
Yeah.
I'd be honest about this. Everybody from back home in the subcontinent loves to dance. We just shake and dance, and we just move and move. We keep moving. We are like, you know.
But now, and far be it for me to impose. But I don't know how long we have the theater. So, could you just do?
They both stand. Holding his hands up, Khan shimmies. Letterman strides backwards and forwards.
So I
He doesn't stop.
This is not Chicago. It's not Chicago. This is, I'm going to teach you some Indian
steps. By the way, that's all I got. I hope that was a little of this, a little of that, and then you.
Khan mimics his movements.
Can I teach you a few Indian steps?
Yeah, because you never know when this is going to come in handy.
Very easy. Yeah. And it's just.
Hip thrusts. Letterman walks away.
Come on.
I'm not doing that. No, let's try
Next time. I'll let you. Next time, back home in India, day.
More slow thrusts.
Day.
Letterman tries, looking rigid. Then he swings his arms.
How's the last one? Here.
Khan holds his arms out in a finale gesture. Letterman does the same. Now a movie clip with Bollywood-style dancers, then moviegoers buy tickets and popcorn. dinner table.
You see every movie he makes?
Absolutely. I love to do that. Yeah. I love watching his films. I like to see what work he does.
And if you see something that's really good, how do you get him to believe?
She normally doesn't like most of my films, so when she says it's good, must be good.
I'm just honest, that's it.
Uh-huh. There you are.
Scenes around Mumbai, colorful lanterns, masks, hats, and umbrellas strung overhead at a market, locals eating street food, New York stage.
After each one of these sessions, I think to myself, it's a very smart, very lovely person from whom I have learned things. And you would be maybe at the top of that list.
Oh, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Shah Rukh Khan, thank you very much.
Audience members rise with their applause. Letterman and Khan shake hands and hug.
That was wonderful.
Credits. Executive producers Chris Sechin De La Rosa, Christopher Collins, Lydia Tenaglia, Tom Keeney, Mary Barclay, and Sandra Zweig. Host David Letterman, director Michael Steed, featured guest Shah Rukh Khan, music by Paul Schaefer. Copyright 2019, Netflix Worldwide Entertainment, LLC. Logos 0.0 and Worldwide Pants Incorporated.
Ah, fresh pants.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.